Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, about looking at the entire world through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. That's pretty old, you know, but it's polished up for today. And we call that polished lens Armadoxy, and we're inviting you to kick back right now and take a look with us through that lens. If you're watching the Olympics, that's fine too. So are we. But take a look through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy, Armadoxy. This podcast is being brought to you by Epostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Let's take the next step. Yeah, run, 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 run. There it is. There are the famous footsteps of the next step. I am totally consumed by the Olympics. I don't know what it is. I know there's a lot of hype that goes into them. And then every 4 years, I was talking to my good friend Harach out in London. He told me that they had gotten everybody all excited about the Olympics. Like, you know, you're not going to be able to get around the traffic. It's going to be a snarly mess and everything. He says it has been so pleasant for the last 2 weeks. He's been able to get into downtown, the metros, the trains are available. So quite different. You remember like a couple months ago, or maybe it was last year, here in Los Angeles, the busiest freeway in the entire country, it's the 405 Interstate, and they called it Carmageddon. Those of you in the Los Angeles area know what I'm talking about. Carmageddon. That's what it was nicknamed. They said that when they closed this up for repair, the 405, it would be like Armageddon, but for the cars. A mess. It would be like going to hell. Well, it happened. Everybody cooperated. Nobody was on the roads. It just went off so smoothly. It was more like a heavenly experience, especially in Los Angeles. When you travel that 405, you can't imagine it being without cars. Well, we did, and we got through that weekend. That's what it reminded me when he said that, you know, in London. It wasn't what they expected. But if you've been watching the Olympics, how beautiful. You know, so many things to think about. And that's what I wanted to share with you, some of the ideas coming out of the Olympics, because as much as I enjoy watching the athletes compete, and there are some just beautiful, beautiful competitions, especially the swimming events. I mean, we're right now, as we're talking, the synchronized swimming's going on, and our dear friend Adam Krikorian, we did a shout out last week. I can't tell you how proud we are of him. Especially, I don't know if you got a chance, he's the head coach of the United States water polo team, and they were playing against Australia, and he called a timeout at the last second on that game. And then some of the coaches were analyzing it, you know, like what was going on. And one of the commentators analyzed it, and he says, "We've got to admire Adam Krikorian for his conduct and for his honesty." Wow. Do people talk about those terms anymore? I got to tell you, we were so proud of him. He's a boy grown up in our church, and just very, very proud that, you know, special blessings of the church. This is how it shows up. It's not about like wearing your faith on your sleeve. It's about how you conduct yourselves. And both Susan and I were looking at each other. You know, that's what it's all about. That's what makes it all worthwhile, the work that we do through the church. Very, very proud of him. And let's see, I guess today is the final competition. Wish him the best. The United States team. I forgot who they're going up against, but they're guaranteed at least the silver, and we're hoping for the gold. But some of the other competitions that are going on, I mean, you know, you watch these athletes on a world stage, and you realize that they're winning these competitions by split seconds, hundredths of a second. Some of the competitions are so close to call, they have to wait, look at the picture. What is that called? Photo finish? Or is that something like, am I giving away my horse racing days? Anyway, last night we were watching one on the track and field, and you know, you had to wait until they reviewed it and gave you the official position of who won. I mean, that's how close they are. And it's interesting that they come in so close, and yet there is a winner and there is a loser. And when you think about it, there's like eight people competing, you know, in the lanes, and can you really claim that one is a loser or one is a winner over the other? Well, you do, because at that particular moment in time, that person went across the finish line first. But it's very conceivable that at another moment in time, perhaps in a few seconds later, perhaps a day later, you know, the results would have been different. And so there is that element of chance, right? I know we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about chance, because then you get into the religious circle, right? You get into maybe that there are other forces at play. I'm not saying anybody's getting a push. I'm not saying the wind is blowing in a certain direction, but it is very conceivable that at that level where you're talking about split seconds, that it may be that, you know, if you ran that same race, if you swam that same race, a few seconds later, a few days later, you would have had some different results. Maybe it would have been identical. I don't know. But what I'm saying is that there is that element in there that you can't always place your finger on, okay? The person's muscles may have been a little bit more tighter today than they were yesterday, and so on and so on. And for me, as, you know, with my background in social science, in psychology, in social ethics, as much as important and as pleasurable it is to watch these Olympics, it is also very interesting for me to follow the aftermath of the Olympics. What happens to people when they win, when they lose? In particular, did you see the gymnast who came in? You know, she was the American gymnast who was going to win on all scales. Everybody thought she was going to win. And then, of course, she came in with a silver. God forbid, she came in as a silver. You know, and then she made that expression. It's been all over the internet. I think some people had some fun with it. They were photoshopping it in at different places. Yes, even at the Mars landing, placing her picture at the Mars landing. And you look at her expression, she is just, first of all, it's just a very spoiled expression, like, oh, I should have won, but I didn't, okay? And that to me is an important part of what I do as a priest too, is basically being able to gauge people's reaction to life. Because as you know, in life, you can control a lot of things. It's not all chance. Obviously, it's not all chance. But what we can't control, we designate as chance, or sometimes what we call luck. Last year, I came up with this formula for a blessing. A blessing to me is really luck without the element of chance. And the more I think about that, it's so true. God's blessing is really getting that luck, that favor of God, but there is no chance involved in it, because God is there, right? And God is always there. So it's your ability to plug into that luck, to be able to plug into that God factor. And here we are on this couple days just before the Assumption Feast. In the Armenian Church, this is the feast where we bring our bounty to the church, and we ask for God's blessings on that bounty. Well, what is that? The God's favor. Okay, it's that element of chance, so to speak, the luck that we talk about, but there is no chance in this case. In other words, it's not a question of rolling the dice. It's a question of knowing that you've got God's blessings. Now, think about that for a moment, okay? You look at these people, these athletes. They get out there and they win a competition. They lose a competition. Aren't they all world-class athletes? Even the guy who comes in eighth place, the swimmer who comes in eighth place. I mean, you're talking about eighth in 8 billion? 8 billion people in the world? Okay, you're the eighth. You're still world-class. You're still at the top. But we have this need, this desire to define people in superlatives, the fastest. Number one, okay, and there it is, the gold. Get the gold. When in fact, there is an element that is not about just, being prepared for it. There is an element of chance in there. Perhaps that morning you woke up and you didn't get enough sleep. Perhaps that day your muscle tightened up a little bit. You were off on that hurdle just a little bit. I mean, you've never hit one of those hurdles, but as you're doing it today, you knock over a hurdle and you're out of the race. Okay, that one we call chance. It's not that you're bad. It's not that you're not a world-class athlete. Now, let's transpose that to our lives in the world, right? Are you ready to do that? Do you realize that we're running a race? Do you realize that we're all in this giant competition called life? Were you wondering where I was going with all this? Okay, I'm coming down to life. You know, so many times, we're so hard on ourselves. When you really think about it, we really have a lot of control in life. We have absolute control in life. And we can come out ahead. We can be that gold winner. That gold medal winner. Okay, that's where I'm going to go today. I'm going to start off early today with the song of the day. And then we're going to come back and talk about these things. Okay, are you with me? I hope you are. This is kind of fun doing this. It is so hot in Southern California. I mean, like I see people who are made out of sugar. They're melting. You should see them. They're just like puddles of sugar over here. This song is called Giligia. And this song happens to come, actually, it's a request by Susie. She just found it and she asked if we'd play it today. It's called The Beautified Project. We will put a link on our show notes. It's called TheBeautified.com. And it says on the 24th of December, this is off their website, 2011, The Beautified Project signed a record deal with an American label, St. Mongoose Entertainment. I assume it's Saint. It's ST period Mongoose Entertainment. The Beautified Project is the first band out of Armenia to have signed a deal with an American label. Well, let's listen in. Enjoy it. I certainly did.
Երբ որ բացվի դռներ հուսով Եվ մեր երկրեն փախտածը մեր Չգնա երկիր մեր ալենյո Երբ հայլը յուր կաղցրի կորեր Երբ որ ծիծարն իր Desnel zingirigya ashkhar ori yetu Մեր կենաց մեջ ու chadagat yurkarodi hor jam kanara simtsatana sirun dalov verchi mare yertam nanjel zimginikya ashar gorit yeturare Yertam nınce zinginik ya aşkar borit yetur
last note, right? You want to hear that last note? Ah, beautiful song. Giriga, of course, that is a traditional Armenian song coming to us from last century, done in a beautiful interpretation of it. That is a group called The Beautified Project, and we will put a link on our show notes today. Do check them out. It says they have just signed a deal with St. Mongoose Entertainment. And Susie was just reminding me that I questioned the ST as being, is it Saint or what? Maybe is it Street Mongoose? And she makes a good point. Why didn't I question Mongoose? Is Mongoose a saint? What kind of saint is Mongoose? And whose saint is Mongoose? Anyway, you have a right, Susie, definitely. Anyway, besides the point, right? It was beautiful, beautiful music. Do check them out. We'll put a link on our show notes. Check out all the wonderful music that we play here on The Next Step. I certainly believe in these artists, and I believe in encouraging them. That's why I want to play them and get you, you know, to chime in, go to their websites, pick up some of their music, and share it with others as well. Okay, well, I told you I wanted to talk a little bit about Olympics and things coming out of London. Before I go there, let me tell you, I had a chance to listen in on a podcast to do a shout-out for our good friend Harry Hagopian. He did a podcast about Syria recently with the BBC, All Things Considered. And I want to put a link on our show notes as well to the BBC, because thank you, Harry, first of all, for the wonderful commentary that you gave, but also for turning us on to the BBC, All Things Considered. There are some links also to some ethics programs, and I want to turn our listeners on to that. Just a wonderful variety of stuff coming out of the BBC, and get you tuned in to all that. Of course, what's going on in Syria, something very, very tragic, and something that should concern all of us. And do check out Harry Hagopian's analysis of the events. It's the future of Christianity, actually, the future of religion, what's going on in the Middle East, and definitely worth a listen to. And hopefully he's promised that when he comes out to America within the next year, that he will be a guest here on The Next Step. So we're looking forward to that. And I'm just mentioning it because I want to hold him to that. He seems like a fascinating guy. We've never had a chance to meet personally, but we've exchanged emails and had a chance to talk briefly on the phone. Looking forward to his visit. Let's talk about what's going on in London, specifically the world's attention on the Olympics. And I was talking about some of the expressions on these athletes, and in particular those people who we call losers. Oh, what an awful, awful word. Think about it for a moment. You've lost by a split second, and yet you are referred to as a loser. That's not right, is it? And as I was saying, like, there's eight people competing. Every one of them is a world-class athlete. If you want to find out, hey, you try to run it. You try to run those few feet in those few seconds. You try to swim that Olympic-sized swimming pool. And obviously, it's obvious that at some point we need to have some kind of marking system, and so we refer to one as a gold medal winner, as the other as a silver, and as the other as a bronze, and the others are, well, also competed, right? It's just not fair, is it? Well, let me share with you why I'm bringing this up. I think it's very important as Christians for us to gain lessons from different things that happen in life, and particularly when we see these Olympics come up, you have an opportunity to think about, well, the entire competition of life in many senses, whether you're living in a capitalist country or not, where capitalism I'm using because it is based on competition, it is on the free market economy, whether you're in that kind of economy or another kind of economy, I mean, that's secondary. We're really competing in what's called life. You're competing to get from one end to the other. And in that race of life, you want to keep yourself, you want to keep your head above the water. You want to come out ahead in all the things that are important, not necessarily those things that fatten your wallet, but certainly that fatten your heart, that make you become that person. So that at the end of life, you can look back and look at life and say, you know, what a beautiful life that was. There are so many moments. I've filled it with so much beauty that I am able to look back at that life and feel good about it. And sometimes we are scared to do that, to have a reflection on our lives because of the things that we may see. Because as we look back at the race of life, we look and we say, well, you know, I have regrets. I have regrets. I should have done this. I should have done that. I could have done it this way. And you know what? You all know. I mean, you don't need me to tell you, but it's sometimes important to hear it, right? You can't change the past. You cannot change the past. Okay? What you can do is you can look at your present and say that if I live this way, I can affect my future. That's about the only thing that we can do. The past is gone, and it's best to let it go. You need to let it go. Every one of those athletes who succeeded at some time failed, right? But it's the perseverance. It's the ability to keep going forward and saying, okay, I lost this race, but I'm not going to lose tomorrow's race. And that's what we call attitude. That attitude is so important. What is that? There's some kind of thing that always hits you on the email, right? Something about life is 90% something and 10% attitude, or 90% attitude. So make sure your attitude's right. I forgot exactly what the quote is, but you know it. I know you know it. And I know what I'm saying, you know. But it's important for us to at least set it up, because what I'm about to talk about is very important in the context of Armenian Orthodoxy, and that basically is the story that we're at this weekend, which is the Assumption of the Holy Mother of God, Saint Mary. It really is about that attitude concept. You see, in life, God blesses us in unique ways, and we call those unique blessings talents, right? He gives us unique talents that make me me and you you. Certainly you have talents that I don't have. I have talents that you don't have. And what's important in life is for us to identify. This is really the talent of life, is to identify what talent you have. And this really makes it a successful life. Because once you can identify it, you can capitalize on that talent. If I know that I could run this course, if I know that I could swim, then I capitalize on it. And certainly within, having lived in the Soviet system, this was something that really was very fascinating for me. Having come from a capitalist country, from America, and I went and lived in the Soviet state, Armenia, back in the 1970s, Brezhnevian era. And I was in my 20s, and I had a chance to meet with a lot of students who were my age. And basically, it was already done for them. The state had done it for them, okay? They noticed that you had beautiful fingers and a knack for playing the piano, you were automatically put into a music school. And basically your life was set for you. Here was your talent, and we're going to capitalize on that. You have a good back, you have a strong back, okay, here's a pick, here's a shovel, go and dig some holes for us. I mean, basically, the state is saying, okay, this is what you have to do. Thank God that you don't need a state now to tell you that, but it's a little bit more difficult. I know I'm getting myself into trouble for this, okay? Sometimes I know it would be nice if somebody else could tell you, this is where you belong. Trust me, it's not nice. Thank God that you have that freedom to choose. So take advantage of it. Take advantage of being able to choose your destiny. Capitalizing on the strengths that you have, the talents that you have. If you have a knack for running, then run. If you have a knack for playing music, then play music. If you have a knack for beautifying the world, beautify the world. If you have a knack for loving, then love. Give to others. Do what you can. That's what makes you uniquely you. Do you remember the story of Jesus having, he was out in the wilderness, and he was with his disciples, and he was preaching away, and all of a sudden it was evening. Do you remember that? Do you remember that story, the story of the fish and the loaves? Okay, now let's back up a little bit, okay? It's evening, and there's like thousands and thousands of people out there. And the disciples tell Jesus, it is a lonely place over here. Send the people home. Tell them to go. And Jesus said, why would we do that? And they said, well, you know, there's no supermarket here. There's no Costco. What are we going to do? How are we going to feed these people? And Jesus turns and says, you feed them. What do the disciples do? All we have are these two fish and five loaves of bread. Jesus taking them, he blesses them. And what does he do? It multiplies and he feeds 15,000 people. I'm taking the 15, could be 20,000, okay? It says 5,000 men, not including the women and the children. So figure that each of the men had one wife. Yes, monogamous situation there. Figure a couple kids. Okay, you're looking at 15 to 20,000 people being fed. And then them collecting 12 baskets of foods afterward. Well, here's the story. Here's the beauty of the story, is the expression. Do you remember that expression of the silver medal gymnast that we saw splattered throughout this Olympics, okay? She's standing there with this dumb look on her face, like, I should have been a gold medal winner. I didn't make it, and I'm upset. I'm going to pout about it. That's the expression that the disciples had. They said, how can we do this? We don't have the talents. And that's the same expression that you and I have all the time. We give Jesus all the reasons why we cannot do life. I'm short. I'm not pretty. I can't do it. I get tired. I'm too old for that. I'm too young for that. I can't do it. We give Jesus the same excuses these disciples is. We can't feed them. All we have are these two fish and five loaves of bread. That's all we have. Jesus, I can't do it. God, I can't do it. All I have is two hands. But they're not, you know, these are not musical hands. All I have is this body, and this body certainly isn't something that I'm proud of. I'm overweight. I looked in the mirror. I don't look too good. I don't look like what's on Sports Illustrated. Oh, Cosmopolitan, did you see her on Cosmopolitan? I certainly don't look like that. We have excuses that we make. All I have are the two fish and five loaves of bread. Jesus says, that's all I need. What does he say to you? He says, you feed them. You take care of it. You have it within you. Now this week we celebrate the feast of the Assumption of the Holy Mother of God, Saint Mary. Think about what she did. Okay? She gave the same excuse that the disciples gave. She gives the same excuse that you and I give to God. There's no way I could do it. Right? God tells her, from you will be born Jesus Christ. Mary says, how could that be? I have never been with a man. I've never been with a man. How can I be pregnant? Okay, the excuse. How can I feed 15,000 people? All I have are these two fish. How can I possibly get through this surgery? All I have is me. Who's going to feed my family if something happens to me? How can I possibly go for that raise? I'm not as smart as everybody else. Hey, how am I going to get along with my family? They're not talking to me. My brother has messed up things. My relationships are bad with my sister. What am I going to do? St. Mary said the same thing. I can't do that. You want me to do what? I've never even known a man. And what is the response? Well, what is impossible for you is certainly possible for God. Right? Endless possibilities. All you need to do is take to God the things that you have. He's endowed you with certain talents, certain graces, certain things that make you uniquely you and not me. I could look at you and I could envy what you have, the certain talents that you have. I could envy a lot of things about you. I could even envy the material wealth that you have. I could envy the new car that you have, the bigger house that you have, the bank account that you have. But what good is it? That's you. And if I had those things, where would I be? I certainly wouldn't be me. I am me because of the things that I have in my life, the things that define me in my circle. I have this little microphone over here. I have this computer that's like shooting out this message. And you know what? That makes me uniquely me. And you know what? You can envy me or you can curse me if you want. But what you have makes you uniquely you. And there's no sense envying anybody else. And you think about that for a moment. You look at these world-class athletes. The ones that get in trouble are the ones who sit there and pout. That was disgraceful what that young girl did. Pouting that she didn't make the gold. You know what? That's not her. And you have possibilities. It's like the disciples sitting there and pouting and saying that all we have is two fish. Well, they did. Jesus said, well, you feed them. You take care of them. St. Mary said, it's impossible. It can't happen to me. Wait, is that you? I have picked you. You will have the child of God. You will have love within you. And God talks to each of us in this way. He asks us to use our talents, use our abilities to run the race of life. And that race of life is being ran every day, okay? The finish line is down out there. The only difference between the athletes and us is that the athletes see the finish line. In our case, you don't know when it's coming. So, it's even a better race than theirs. Theirs, they know it's going to end in a few steps. With a few more strokes, they know that the race is going to end. For you, you get to race it every single day. And you get to keep going. And it's fun. You've got to have fun along the way. If it's a pain, it means you're envying the wrong things. You're looking at the wrong things. Now, if the disciples had stood there with the two fish and said that, oh, well, we just have these two fish, and hey, look, it's now 3-4 days, and we're still facing like 15,000 people, and we still got the two fish, well, that's not fun. That's disastrous. That's what leads to depression. That's what screws you up, and you end up in therapy, right? No. They gave what they had and left the rest to God. And God multiplied it. Now that's the challenge. St. Mary gave what she had. I don't know how this is going to happen. I've never known a man. But let it be to me according to your will. And leave the rest to God. The same way, you may not have what others have, but this is what makes you uniquely you. You have longer hair than somebody else. You have shorter hair. You've been through cancer. The other person hasn't. You've been through a divorce. The other person hasn't. But that divorce, that cancer, that longer hair, that uniqueness in you makes you you. And there's nobody else in the world who can compare with you. I have the good fortune in this, I don't want to say profession, I'm going to use the word calling as a priest, of having met many, many people from different walks of life. To me, this is my blessing. I get a chance to meet so many different people from so many different backgrounds. And I'll tell you, there are happy people and there are sad people. Here's the little something that you should know. Sadness, I've never seen anybody sad because of things that they haven't had in their pocket. I've never seen sad people because of a lack of money or a lack of property. Their sadness is because they envy. They think that it's greener on the other side of the fence. They think that by having that money, and this is the illusion that they live. The sadness is with people who envy, people who aren't content with what they have. And here's the other part of the statement. In all this time, all the happy people, they may not have that material wealth, but they believe in themselves. The happy people are the people who know what they have and have turned it over to God for God to use. Saint Mary gives us that example. She turns to God and she says, "Let it be to me according to your will." And God takes her and uses her as this tool by which the Holy Spirit works and the Son of God is born. Jesus Christ, love is born in this world through Saint Mary. And this Sunday happens to be the Assumption, the Feast of the Assumption of St. Mary. That means when she passed away, when she went to her eternal rest, she was assumed into heaven. God took her and she was assumed into heaven. And she was because of her unique position within the process of salvation for humanity. She gave us Jesus Christ. And now, it's very tempting for us to say, well, look, God picked her out. God picked her out. She was special. And you know, if God had picked me out, this is where the envy comes in, okay? If God had picked me out, but God won't pick me out, well, I'm too old. God won't pick me out because I'm too fat. God won't pick me out because I haven't forgiven in my heart. God won't pick me out because people don't like me. God won't pick me out because all I have is 2 fish and 5 loaves. God won't pick me out because I've never known a man. If you want to give all the excuses, think about this. God has picked you out. God has picked you out to have Jesus Christ, to bear Jesus Christ. From you, Jesus Christ must be born. What? Oh, yeah, 2,000 years ago, if somebody had said to me, from you, Jesus Christ will be born, I would have said yes to. God is saying it to you right now. He wants Jesus Christ to be born from you. How? He wants love to be born from you. He wants you to be the bearer of love. He wants you to be the one who says to the world, here is love. This is how you practice it. He wants you to be the one who says that, yes, there are problems in Syria, but love can conquer that. He wants you to be able to say that, you know what, I'm running the race, and at the end, the prize is love. The prize is union with God. The prize is being with God forever, for eternity. And I want to win that race. From me, love will be born. He's asking us to be Saint Mary, to say yes. Saint Mary was a very unique and special person, but she is a saint. In other words, she is an example for all of us. She gives us an example to live by, and it's up to us to say yes. Let it be to me according to your will, dear God. And let me use those talents that you have bestowed upon me without excuses. I may only have 2 fish. I may have never known a man. I may be too fat. I may have too many gray hairs on my head. I may not know scientific notation. But you know what? You have picked me, and from me love will be born, and I can do it. Make that the mantra of your life. Make that the pace by which you run your race. Because at the end, you're going to see that when you get to that finish line, there is a beautiful race that you have won. It's the race of life, and it has been defined by love. And you can't lose. It doesn't matter where you come in. You can't lose. You're always in first place. You're always in the first place because you are next to God. Hey, listen, you know what? I want to do a special shout out to our dear, dear Ani Bubbles. She is under the weather, unable to do Bubbles for a couple weeks right now. We wish her the best and hope that she'll be back here next week. In the meantime, I'm going to ask Susie to tell you how you can get involved in this dynamic ministry. I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazquez, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the 5th year of broadcasting and heard on 6 continents. The next step is entering homes and communities proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for the important announcement. Always apropos, right? It's a way of getting involved with what we're doing over here, and it is so important. You know, I've got to tell you something personal. This past week, we've had a chance to work with a lot of different church communities here in the Los Angeles area, and I've had a chance to speak with many people who are involved administratively within the church. I've got to tell you, right now, the church is struggling. The Armenian church in particular, the Christian church in general is struggling with identity. Identity as far as being able to be labeled with Jesus Christ. To me, Jesus Christ is the incarnation of love. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You don't make apologies for Jesus Christ, okay? And you always accept it. Those of you who have been listening to The Next Step know that this is a ministry that is founded on very solid principles of love. And the manifestation of that love is Jesus Christ. You point to Christ and you have the manifestation. In other words, you have the ultimate example of what love should be. It is something that is defined by sacrifice, the sacrifice that he showed on the cross and asked us to pick up as well. This is a dynamic ministry insofar as this is really what's happening within the Armenian Church. And I need you to get involved. If you're involved at any level, the most important level you can get involved in is keep us in your prayers. Keep Apostle and the work we're doing in your prayers. If you say a special prayer for us, we appreciate it so much because it goes a long way. We always like to hear from you. Drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net. And also, feel free to give us a call. We are in the United States at area code 626-275-AMEN. Or in Armenian, you could say Amen. Translates to the digits 2636. So it's 626 area code in the United States, 275-2636. And we'd love to hear from you. You could leave a message there, and we can even play it for you next time, okay? Final thoughts. This week, we landed on Mars, and there was 7 minutes of terror that I want to share with you. It goes in with everything else we've been talking about these expectations. So they sent up a rocket ship with a Mars lander on it, and you know how excited I get about all of these things going out there in space. And this took 8 months to get there, and it arrived there Monday. And right here in Pasadena, actually, right next to Apostle East, is the California Institute of Technology. And just down the street is Jet Propulsion Laboratories, JPL. And these were the people that were responsible for the Mars landing. And so there was a lot of celebration here in Pasadena Monday evening when the lander got to Mars and it landed. It took 7 minutes of terror. This is when the lander had to slow down from 13,000 miles an hour down to 200 miles an hour, which is still pretty fast, okay? And then it had to send out the little unit with a parachute, and the unit then lowered this lander onto the Martian surface, and then the unit took off. And during these 7 minutes, it was called the 7 minutes of terror, these scientists were biting their nails because, again, what are we talking about? As much as you prepare, there is that element of chance. Turning that chance into blessing, and it did turn into a blessing, right? This is remarkable how all this fits together, isn't it? Have you ever heard a show where it's bringing science and religion together? People, they go crazy about stuff like this. Hey, it's happening. You know why? Because it's Armadoxy. It's pure. Okay, anyway, so they watched it and it landed. And now, within the next couple years, we're going to be getting all kinds of new information about Mars. And I throw this out because, you know, a lot of times in our lives, we think that we know it all. And, you know, don't forget that there are new things being discovered every single day. And you'll be surprised. You don't need to go millions of miles away to another planet to discover the most precious newness in your life. You could just look within and you'll find new things all the time. Don't be scared to explore. Don't be scared to look within. And with that, I want to bring an end to today's show. I want to thank you for joining us today and invite you to join us again next week. Do drop us a line. We're at feedback@epostle.net. Call us up at area code 626 in the United States, 275-2636. And you can check us out on Twitter. We are also on Facebook. Listen to us on Stitcher Radio, on Blueberry, on iTunes. Well, we're just about everywhere. Do check out the app. You could get us on Android phones as well as iPhones. For the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, for Vahe, our webman, for Ani, I hope you're feeling better, Ani, and you'll be back with us next week. This is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step. Thank you.
trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your podcast out.